When I was a college student, I had the privilege of studying for a summer in Europe in a joint program between an American college and the Free University of Amsterdam in Holland. And it was not only studying classroom lectures and in Amsterdam, but also travel to various sites, and particularly cathedrals and museums and historic places throughout the continent of Europe. One of those places was Paris, where, along with a friend, I went to visit the Louvre, this marvelous museum in which you could spend weeks and weeks visiting and learning from the various displays. But I had a particular interest, and that is that I wanted to see Leonardo da Vinci's Mona Lisa, and thought it shouldn't be very difficult to find. After all, when you get the guidebook to the Louvre, the Mona Lisa is on the cover of the guidebook. So she's right there, and they give you a map giving you directions. And I'm a little embarrassed to tell you that I spent a very long time looking for this woman and was unable to find her. And finally did something that, frankly, many men are reluctant to do, and that is I went up to a guide and asked for directions and said, could you please, actually, I held up the picture and said, could you please point me to the Mona Lisa? And the guide said, right there. And it was about 15 feet away, but pretty well blocked by a large crowd of tourists that were checking out this famous painting. I think it was a combination of the crowd that was around the painting, as well as the painting was not quite the size and as I expected it to be. I think that for many people, there is a similarity between that and the search for God, that so many people spend so much of life looking for God, and even though there are maps that have been designed and drawn by generations before, we seem to be unable to find the God that we are looking for, perhaps because there are people who stand between us and God, or because God does not quite fit up to our expectations of exactly as he should be. One searcher was a university student named Todd Lake. He tells his story in a 1996 book entitled Finding God at Harvard. He starts his own story talking about religious truth, saying that I had long viewed religious truth to be a classic oxymoron, that debates among devotees of the Buddha, the Prophet Muhammad, and the Christ seemed as pointless as junior high boys arguing about whose girlfriend was prettier. While Todd Lake then described himself as an agnostic, saying that that was really the only intellectually honest approach to take, that he couldn't believe, but he couldn't disbelieve either. I'm not sure I would call him a searcher for God, but I do think that I would describe him as a searcher for truth. His search took an unexpected turn when there was one day a visiting lecturer at Harvard College. And in a discussion after the lecture, Todd Lake was asked a question by this lecturer that went like this. What if Jesus Christ really had risen from the dead, vindicating his claims to be God in the flesh? He was at first attracted to and tantalized by that question. Because if it's true that Jesus came back to life again 3 days after he died, and that this was done by God, and that he had predicted it in advance, then that would accredit or validate everything that Jesus said about himself and everything that he taught. But Todd Lake thought that it was really a stupid question, because there was no way to go back in history and to verify that it was in fact the truth. He responded by saying, that's a question like asking, what if Eleanor Roosevelt could fly? And said, you know, there's no way to know, so there's no point in even talking about it. The lecturer answered again, saying, how does Todd Lake know that anything that has ever happened in history is true? Because you can't go back in history and verify anything about Hamlet or Julius Caesar or George Washington, because it's not repeatable like an experiment in a laboratory. And so this student began to look in a different way in a serious search at the evidence. He concluded that the New Testament was more credible than he expected it to be. He discovered that the documents had a greater likelihood of accuracy than almost any other ancient or historical documents. He began to discover that the witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ must have been telling the truth, or at least thought they were telling the truth. And then he began to explore the Old Testament, and especially prophecies about Jesus' life and death, and was amazed to discover that there were detailed descriptions of Jesus dying, a vivid description of death by crucifixion, at a time long before crucifixion was a popular mode of execution. And the more he searched, the more he discovered and learned. He put himself into it. He used all of the intelligence and intensity that led him to graduate with honors from Harvard College and be admitted to the Harvard Law School. But not Todd Lake. What about us? What if you or I were to commence a similar search to find God, to find out whether the Bible is right, whether Jesus Christ is all that he claims to be? Probably most of us would not have the discipline or the academic bent of this Harvard student, but there are some simple steps for us to consider. And first on the list is to believe a little. It doesn't mean that we have to start out the quest with a great deal of faith, but obviously if there is no possibility of there being a God and no possibility, if Christianity is true, then there is no place to begin. For anyone who has a completely closed mind would never search at all. The Bible has an interesting line in the New Testament in Hebrews 11:6, saying that anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That is to say that it doesn't take a lot of faith to find God, that on a scale of 1 to 10, there needs to be at least a 1. There needs to be some belief, but that doubts are okay and that uncertainty is completely normal. Maybe it is even enough to say that there is a possibility, a probability about God and that all of this is true. My guess is that just about every one of us here this morning could qualify for having enough faith to at least get started. Maybe we identify with one of the stories in the biography of Jesus where a man with a desperately sick child came to him. All other means had been exhausted and pleaded with Jesus to intervene and to save this child's life. Jesus sensed right away that the person who was asking was not much of a believer, not much faith. And so he asked the question, "Do you believe?" And this father was amazingly honest, and his answer apparently was good enough for Jesus. He said, "I do believe. Help me to overcome my unbelief." He recognized that on the scale of distribution, his unbelief far outweighed his belief. He believed some, a little, but he at least was willing to ask for help to deal with the unbelief. I can identify with that. I believe, but I admit that I need God's help to overcome uncertainty, unbelief, to have more faith. But I also know that to find God, while it may not take a lot of belief, it does take a lot of desire. The Old Testament leader, Moses, who was a great searcher and seeker after God, gave some advice to his own generation and to us and other generations. He said, "If you seek the Lord your God, you will find him. If you look for him with all your heart and with all your soul." So there's got to be a passion to this, a genuine desire for God. And I think that makes sense. That's the practical way we do most things. If you are an employer, you have a vacancy at your company, you are receiving applications, you read a resume, and you call up an applicant and say, "I'd really like to have you come in for an interview." And the applicant says, "Well, think about it, you know, tomorrow." "Well, if I wake up, I'd be glad to come. But, you know, I don't like to set an alarm because it startles me at the beginning of the day. And I feel it's better to wake up kind of naturally, and that's at different times." And you're the employer saying, "Whoa, this person doesn't really want this job." Or if you're engaged to someone who says, well, you know, I'm not really sure I like you and I don't know that I want to go to a wedding, you may want to consider not mailing the invitations on Monday morning and rethink all this because there isn't that desire, that passion. And so those who are searchers and seekers after God should look for him with all of one's heart, with all of one's soul. But wouldn't anybody want God? I mean, even if there is doubt that he exists, if he does exist, if he truly is the ultimate fulfillment, if he is one who can satisfy us and transform our lives unlike any other, shouldn't there be a passion for the pursuit? The French scientist and philosopher Blaise Pascal once described all human beings as having in the center a God-shaped vacuum that only Jesus Christ can fill. That without this discovery of God, there is something missing. That God is, in fact, worth finding. But you've got to want to. I want to. That is my desire. What about you? Is that your desire? To know and to experience God? Because if so, one of the most practical things that anyone can do is to tell God. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. So I can tell you about people, hundreds, thousands of people, who have actually prayed and said, God, I'm not even sure you exist. But if you do, I want to know you. God, I'm not sure how much I can believe or do believe, but please kind of show yourself to me. Help me discover you. I'm convinced that that kind of a sincere prayer strikes a responsive chord in a God who wants us to know him, who wants a relationship, a God who wants us to be connected to him. And so he is willing to start where we are. He doesn't say we have to come the distance to him. He is willing to come the distance to us. In fact, that's what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. Even if our sins are great and even if our knowledge is small, he delights that we take that first response to his great initiative and simply tell him, God, I want to discover you. I am a seeker after truth, and a searcher after you. And what you'll discover is that most often God does not respond to that kind of prayer with a flash of light or the appearance of an angel or a burning bush or something, anything quite so spectacular. Usually, he draws us to his book. If you have recently purchased a piece of electronic equipment, a VCR or a computer, you probably found, maybe printed on the box, an 800 toll-free number to which you can make a call and connect with a customer service representative. And when you call that person, you can say, I just bought the new computer, I just got my VCR, and I was wondering if you could come over tonight and help me plug it in and get it started. And these people are always trained to deal with folk like that, and the response probably would be, okay, did you take it out of the box? Yeah, I got the box open. All right, did you notice right on the top there's an instruction book? Yeah, I saw that. Did you open it? No, I just thought I'd call you. And the customer service rep says, look, tell you what, read the instruction book, do what it says, and if you still need help, call me back. I mean, actually, we may be willing to do that. We may be willing to have somebody come over and plug it in and get it started for you, but first, check out the book and do what the book says. And the same goes with God. It is not that he is unwilling to show up at our houses. It is not that he is reluctant to perform a miracle. But he asks us to start with the book, to start with the Bible, an encyclopedia of information about God and life. And if you have never seriously read the Bible before, if you are only familiar with it in a cursory way or have only read about it, if you don't know where to begin, then let me suggest to you that you read the Bible and don't begin at the beginning. Actually, if you begin at the beginning with the Old Testament, it gets rather difficult and becomes all too easy to get bogged down. Far better to move toward the back and open to the New Testament and begin there to read, say, the Gospel according to Mark, the biography of Jesus. It is 34 pages long. After that, if you want to read more, then read the Gospel according to John. It is 44 pages long. So with 78 pages, you can discover the story of Jesus, whom the Bible describes as the person to get to God. It's that simple and that easy. Read the book and make a commitment. The front-end commitment is to seek God, to have an open mind, an open heart. But let me forewarn you that seeking God always leads to a greater commitment. Always, without exception. And that is because God always asks for everything. He has 100% demand. That may seem off-putting, threatening, formidable. But that is the truth. That he wants us to give total and complete allegiance to him. He asks for all of our hearts, all of our minds, everything about our bodies and will and time and relationships and possession. So that to discover God, to become a Christian, is far more than discovering information. It may begin as a simple intellectual step and may have a heart's passion about it. But eventually it leads to an experience, a person-to-person experience with God through Jesus Christ. So here God took the great initiative, sent his son, he died on the cross, he rose again from the dead. That was the ultimate proof that God offered to us, that all that Jesus said is correct, his power and his claims. But it's not just intellectual. In fact, I think the searching part is probably the easiest part. And I think that the intellectual quest, maybe the simplest as well. It is commitment that so many people find so hard to do. It is discovering that as much as we want God, that God wants all of us, and that that is part of the deal in the quest, the search for him. Whatever happened to that Harvard student, Todd Lake? Where did his search take him? Listen to his own words. He says that one July day, I knelt down in the kitchen of my family's home in Whittier, California, and I asked the resurrected Jesus Christ of history to forgive me for what I had done to others and to God, and to come into my life and make me the person that God had created for me to be. This Easter, I encourage you in your search for God. You will not be sorry. I can't imagine that you could ever be disappointed. For God is well worth the search. But maybe you step back and you say, I don't need the search. I've passed that. What I'm ready to do is make the commitment like Todd Lake. If that's the case, if you're ready to fully, completely follow Jesus Christ, then I would say to tell him, to pray to God today and pray a prayer something like the one of this Harvard student, to ask the resurrected Christ of history to forgive your sin, to come into your life. And then, wasn't that a great last line he had? To pray and to ask God to make me all that God created me to be. To move from seeking and searching to commitment, to connection with God, and to be all that God desires for us to be. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. And now may the risen Christ of Easter be the Lord of your life today and forevermore. Amen. Thank you. We have just heard and sung great anthems, hymns of faith, but to do it together is based upon individual or personal faith, or belief in Jesus Christ and his resurrection is based upon an individual confidence and trust in God. Each Sunday morning at Wooddale Church, we have someone present a spiritual autobiography of how he or she came to that personal faith in Jesus Christ. We call it the faith story, and our faith story presenter this Easter Sunday morning is Jane McCown.
Have you ever wondered how a rational, well-adjusted person could believe in Jesus? Have you ever been frustrated by Christian jargon and religious legalism? As a child, I had a vivid imagination, so vivid that I was skeptical about anything I could not see for myself. That included Christianity. Although I grew up in a Christian home, I was always skeptical if there was any truth to what I had been taught. I was never one who could take that leap of faith. My skepticism was fed when I attended a university and learned from a few professors that intellectualism was the only truth. I heard that one had to trust their mind, not their heart, and I began to wonder if Christianity was a crutch for the weak and could not be intellectually justified. Following college, I intentionally left my Christianity behind me and decided to live life on my own terms. Amazingly, I took the time to tell this to God and asked him not to bring me back because of a crisis. If I was to come back, it had to be on an intellectual basis. As I lived without God, I searched for the fun and the excitement I saw in the media. I thought I wanted the life that was presented in TV, magazines, and ads. But instead, all I saw were friends struggling with lives that were meaningless and empty. My friends were not happy, and neither was I. Slowly, I began to realize that life on my own terms was leading me to greater unhappiness. One New Year's Eve, during a time of reflection, I decided to begin my search to find if God was real and if he was the answer to my unhappiness. It was at this point I asked God to help me find him. Although I prayed, I wasn't even sure if there was a God, so my quest for truth began with an intensive study of a book entitled Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. It presented the evidence for the existence of a God by pointing to the laws of nature. As a result of my study, I became convinced that there had to be a mastermind that put the universe in place. This conclusion wasn't too risky, I thought, since even Einstein had come to the same conclusion. But which God? Who was Buddha? Who was Muhammad? And who was Jesus? Why did there have to be only one choice? I quickly found out through my personal study that the teachings of Buddha, Muhammad, and Jesus varied greatly, and I had to admit that only Christianity made the claims that satisfied my mind, claims that, if true, offered an amazing solution for our difficult world. The obvious next step was to study what the Bible had to say. As I began to read the Bible, I found it was not one book, but a collection of 66. It was written over a period of 1,600 years with 40 different authors in three different languages from three different continents. Yet it had only one theme, the story of Jesus Christ. I learned the entire Old Testament was written to prepare us and direct our attention to the Passover Lamb, Jesus, the one who would die to take away the sins of the world. The story throughout was consistent, without flaw. I realized no amount of human effort could accomplish this. Amazing. I concluded the Bible had to be the truth from God. The thought of believing in Jesus as a personal Savior was my most difficult step. In my skepticism, I had considered him perhaps a prophet, most likely a myth. Now I had to face the reality that maybe he was the Son of God. God himself in human form. Eventually, I had too much evidence before me, and my leap of faith now became a baby step, and one that I made with enthusiasm. Yes, my mind was finally satisfied. One could be a rational, well-adjusted person and believe in Jesus Christ. In retrospect, I realized that through this entire journey, that gentle tugging on my heart was actually God, leading me to a very real and personal relationship with him. The Bible led me to know how much God loved me, so much that before he created me, he knew I would sin, yet he still chose to create me, knowing that he would have to sacrifice his son, Jesus, to have a relationship with me. Today, I have committed myself to the truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who actually lived, died, and rose from the dead. When anyone challenges me on what I believe, yes, I can defend my faith with facts. However, more importantly, I encourage seekers to find the truth about God themselves. It is okay to challenge and search for the truth. The Bible tells us, if you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you look for him with all your heart and all your soul. If you have not met the God of the universe, I encourage you to begin your search.